November is coming.
Okay, that's not exactly how Eddard Stark says it, but you get the idea, right? Welcome to Your New Mexico Government. I'm your host, Kaliole Colonna. Today, we are talking about the census and the next elections. Remember those? Yeah. Even with a global pandemic going on, vitally important events are still bearing down. Coming up, we talk with government officials, community leaders, and organizers about not only the importance of the census and the election, but the difficulty in getting the word out in the time of COVID-19. First up, executive producer Marisa DeMarco has a news update of what we know today, Thursday, April 23rd, as of 5 p.m.
Today's show is all about the census and voting, so I'm going to throw out some deadlines for you. If you are not registered to vote yet and you want to vote in the primary, you have to do it by May 5th. The last day you can request an absentee ballot to vote by mail is May 28th. And the primary is on June 2nd. Because of the pandemic, the census deadline got pushed out to Halloween now. That's October 31st, of course. The Department of Homeland Security is reporting that coronavirus may die more quickly in direct sunlight. Data suggests it only survives for 90 seconds in the sun, but for 90 minutes in the dark, the BBC reports. More than 46,000 people in the United States have died because of the virus, and that number goes up more than 2,000 each day, according to the New York Times. If you lost your job during the pandemic, you're not alone. There are 26 million people in the U.S. in your boat, Al Jazeera reports. That's one in six American workers, and plenty of people, at least 3 million, filed for unemployment but haven't seen it yet, according to the Washington Post. That second aid package is finally heading to Trump's desk for signature. And governors and mayors all over the states are pleading with Washington so they can keep government workers on the payroll, the Times reports, but funding for that isn't included in that latest relief bill. Today in New Mexico, there were 169 new cases, with 105 of those coming from the northwest region of the state that overlaps with the Navajo Nation. And there were 7 more deaths, bringing the total to 78 here. Tests that can tell whether people have antibodies to the virus and might be immune are coming to New Mexico, according to the Albuquerque Journal. Studies from other parts of the country say 50 times as many people who've been diagnosed with COVID have the antibodies. A doctor here is speculating that might mean a few hundred thousand people in New Mexico could be immune. For Your New Mexico Government, I'm Marisa DeMarco.
We've got a primary election coming up and the national election. Who can help you understand what is going on? Well, the Secretary of State, Maggie Toulouse-Oliver, is on the line with me. Madam Secretary, thanks for being with me today.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So you were calling for primaries to happen by mail. The state Supreme Court has ruled against a completely by mail election, and it's changes some things for voters because it's a little bit difficult for people to get to voting stations, but also there's difficulty with people just getting the correct information. How do we plan to go about that?
So first and foremost, folks who are registered major party voters in New Mexico, those are Democrats, Republicans, and Libertarians, should first of all be on the lookout in their mailbox for a couple of different pieces of mail coming from our office in the coming weeks. The first will be a postcard. Those have gone out already in the mail just to let folks know what's coming, that you will be getting an absentee ballot application in the mail. Or if you prefer to just do everything online, how to go about it using your internet. And the second piece of mail will be an actual paper absentee ballot application if folks would rather apply for a ballot that way. Postage prepaid, folks will not have to put a stamp on anything for this election in order to vote safely from home. And we really just want to encourage folks, just drive everybody to our New Mexico voter information portal at nmvote.org. That is the place where folks can register to vote, update their registration, apply for an absentee ballot online, track their absentee ballot, and all of that good stuff.
What do you most want people to know today?
What I want most people to know today is that right now, I think more than ever, participation in our democracy and in our government is absolutely crucial. If you like what our government is doing to help protect folks and keep us safe at home, your vote is needed to continue to elect that kind of leadership. If you don't like what's going on, if you're mad, if you're frustrated, if you are experiencing job loss and you're wanting more help, Your voice needs to be heard. The best and most effective way that we can have our voices heard is at the polls, participating in our democracy. So if you're not registered, get registered today at nmvote.org or call your county clerk for a paper form and make sure that you're signed up for an absentee ballot so you can vote safe from home in the June 2nd primary election.
That's what we're going to do. I want to thank you so much for being with me. The Secretary of the great state of New Mexico, Maggie Toulouse Oliver, thanks again for being with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
My next guest is Isaac De Luna. He is a spokesperson for the Center for Civic Policy. So let me ask you, New Mexico has always hard to count by the census. What are some of the problems the state normally faces under what we call the normal circumstances?
Well, I think that most of us understand the complexity of the geography, right, that we encounter here in New Mexico. We're the fifth largest state by landmass in the whole United States. And we only have 2 million people, right, living in this huge state of ours. And so that brings a lot of complications because a lot of the households in our state live in rural areas that don't have the city style address that we're all used to. So what this means is that this creates a lot of complexities around how do we actually make sure that those households are counted and are geographically located throughout the census process.
Have there been any political games played to keep people away from the census? And why would anyone want to do that?
One of the first realities that we faced as we knew that the 2020 census was coming up was that we all heard about the attempt to add a citizenship question. This was really a fear tactic to try to suppress participation by immigrant communities because there was this fear about how could this information be used? Why would they be asking about immigration status? Not only this, but there's been other attempts to really suppress the voices of people of color. And one of the main reasons why anyone would try to suppress participation of people of color is because very bluntly, the census is also a tool that is used to redistribute political power. So when less people are counted, then less people have a voice and representation in our decisions that are made in this country.
Last thing, what do you want people to know about the census?
I think that the very most essential thing that I really want people to take home is the census is essential to ensuring that we build the right foundation for all of our families for the next 10 years. We're talking about billions of dollars that go directly to public programs that are essential for our families. We're talking about Medicaid, SNAP, CHIP, housing, and like I mentioned, directly to our hospitals, our first responders, our education system. So these are funds that are so vital for our families that each of our participation is essential in making sure that we build a stronger New Mexico and a New Mexico that will be successful for the next 10 years.
Don't let that mail sit on the coffee table. That's right. We're going to fill it out immediately. He is Isaac De Luna, spokesperson for the Center for Civic Policy. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Here with me from the New Mexico Dream Team is campaign manager Felipe Rodriguez. Felipe, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you for having me.
So months back, the Trump administration made it public that they were trying to add a citizenship question to the census. That did not happen, thanks to the Supreme Court. But how could you convince folks who hold a variety of citizenship statuses that it's okay to participate in the census?
It's definitely a challenge because of the political environment that we're in right now, because, like you said, Trump's attempt of adding a citizenship question to the form, which failed. But also, it has been a struggle for a long time. Actually, New Mexico has had low self-response rates. 10 years ago, it was one of the lowest states in terms of self-response in the entire country. That is because we have a large immigrant population. We also have a large population of people of color, people that English is not their first language, and a large Native American population. All of these populations are vulnerable to be misinformed about when to fill out the census and how to do it, but also hesitant and trusting the federal government, right? That's why we launched our campaign Todos Contamos, which focuses in reaching out to immigrant populations in the state and communicate to them the importance of filling out the census
Many essential workers right now are people who are undocumented. We've also talked about how a lot of folks don't have access to stimulus money or unemployment, even though they pay taxes too. So how do you convince folks to take time during this emergency when they're working to feed themselves and their family to fill out the census forms when there's so many other concerns in front of them?
As we have been making calls to thousands of community members through this campaign, a lot of people have asked us what ways of relief they have available to them. And it's a hard conversation when people don't have immigration status. They're not eligible for most of the federal relief packages. But that only to us helps us illustrate the critical importance of filling out the census and ensuring that our state programs receive enough funding. A lot of state programs do not have the same immigrant status exclusions that federal programs. You know, they're determining how much funding they get through these accounts.
Lastly, what is the most important thing you want people to know who are listening?
Filling out the census, it's important and safe. We can do it from our house. And also that it's going to take all of us to make sure that all of us are counted. So I want to challenge everyone that is listening to maybe reach out to 10 of their friends or loved ones and ask them, hey, have you filled out the census? Do you know how important it is for communities to get counted?
You heard the challenge, everyone. Now it's time to meet it. He's the campaign manager for the New Mexico Dream Team, Felipe Rodriguez. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
We've been talking about the census. Here with me now is Catherine McGill. She's the BurnCo Complete Count Committee Chair and the creator of Tiny Census Concerts. Catherine, thanks for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
So a lot of our listeners probably know about NPR's Tiny Desks concerts, where musicians play actually around NPR's Tiny Music Desk. Tell us about your riff on that series.
We were thinking about how do we engage audiences that we haven't used before. And one of the tenets of the census is that the message needs to come from a trusted messenger. And throughout time, artists are beloved, trusted messengers in their community, and people come to them for creating meaning in times of joy and in times of sorrow. In this current situation, with most of our artists being displaced in this gig economy, that it would be an opportunity for us both to enlist some trusted messengers that we hadn't reached out to before, and also to support those beloved artists who have been displaced, give them an opportunity to connect with this message of being visible, being counted, leveling the playing field in New Mexico, that we could marry those two things and come up with something that was meaningful and impactful for our community. And I love the Tiny Desk concerts, and I thought, we could do something similar to that and call it the Tiny Census Concert.
Who are some of the trusted messengers who are participating?
We've had people across a number of different genres. It's National Poetry Month, and so we've had people who are poets. We had Joy Harjo, who was the first Native American poet laureate in the United States, as one of our artists. Past week, we had Manuel Gonzalez, who was the poet laureate in New Mexico for 2 years. We've had the Cachette Dance Company. We've had Spanish Broom Flamenco. We've had vocalist Chris Draca, who's a beloved blues artist, Isaac Aragon. And it's been a really wonderful opportunity for me because I'm getting a chance to meet artists that are really, really powerful and have great voices just in terms of their artistic ability, but also in the message that they want to convey.
That is wonderful. So how can our listeners find it?
All they have to do is go to tinycensusconcerts.com, and they'll see the upcoming show announcements, and they'll also see the archives of our previous 3 shows.
She's Catherine McGill, the BurnCo Complete Count Committee Chair, creator of the Tiny Census Concerts. Thanks again, Catherine, for being on the show. Will you come on in the future?
I would say, as my grandmother used to say, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll be there.
This is Your New Mexico Government. I'm your host, Khalil A. Colonna. Every weekday, we are covering the way the virus and health measures are impacting people differently around the state. Stay tuned in weeknights at 7:30 p.m. More talk about the census. I'm in with Annie Lemming. She is the Civic Engagement Coordinator for New Mexico Asian Family Center. Thanks so much for being with me today, Annie.
I'd Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So we know the Asian American population is very diverse and people speak many different languages. How is the Asian Family Center helping try to get the word out about the census?
Well, we have multilingual outreach people that we work with, including our staff. Currently, we have about 10 languages. The top four, I should say, are Chinese Mandarin, Chinese Cantonese, Vietnamese, and Dari, which is close to Farsi.
Okay. What are the special challenges created by the pandemic for either the census or voting access?
A lot of our community members don't have access to the internet, or if they do have access to the internet, it's not necessarily intuitive for them. So we're asking folks to do the census by phone. And some of our outreach members are actually walking through the process for them to fill out the census over the phone or online.
Okay. Is that, you finding that that's helping?
I think it is. It's just, it slows us down some, right?
Yeah.
So if you think about like traditional get out the vote tactics that we use, what we would do is say, okay, well, you can meet us at the Asian Family Center or at this particular place, and we can walk you to the polls, right? And at that juncture, we have folks who speak their language, and we're allowed to provide language access for our voters when accompanying them to the polls. Well, we use these same, like, phone banking tactics to remind people to take the census. So we've got to ask people to do that remotely. And
what new ways are you thinking outside of walking them through filing their census forms through the phone? What innovative ways are you all trying to come up with to, you know, get the people actually counted?
So we have mailers. Gosh, I want to say we sent out over 8,000 mailers throughout the state. We're also emailing people. We're asking our outreach folks to also call their trusted networks. Most people are home now, right? And because of that, they're starting to answer their phones and text. And so our community members are asking us to text them information as well.
Ah, okay. She's Annie Lemming, the Civic Engagement Coordinator for the New Mexico Asian Family Center. Thanks again for being with me.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
My next guest is Jose Viramontes. He's the Media and Outreach Coordinator with iCount New Mexico. Jose, thank you for being with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
So the response rate in New Mexico has been pretty low so far, right? And we're kind of at the bottom of the list statewide. How does the pandemic add to that difficulty?
Like everything else going on in day-to-day life, it just makes it harder and a little bit more challenging to execute. One of the greatest challenges is convincing people to take their census. A lot of those outreach efforts relied on in-person contact. Big events on census days, walking door-to-door and connecting with people and reminding them that the census was coming. And then, of course, the census itself, for most of New Mexicans, about 80% of New Mexico households, you get your census form in the mail, right? Most of us have already received it, filled it out online, over the phone, or by mail. But 20% of New Mexico households, over 160,000 households in New Mexico, they're supposed to get their census form hand-delivered. That's huge for New Mexico because nationwide, those hand delivery forms are only about 5% of the population. But here in New Mexico, with nearly 20% of our population being reliant on hand delivery, of course, that was immediately put to a stop when the epidemic hit. When you look at our response rates, nearly 20% of our households haven't even really been invited or given the tools they need to make it happen yet. So, of course, our response rates are going to be artificially low.
That's going to be tough. So what are some creative solutions you all are coming up with?
Our messaging is already split really into two things. And for your listeners to absolutely know that if you received your census form, take it right away. It's beneficial to New Mexico, especially as we emerge out of the economic challenges that are being brought by COVID. Knowing that the federal government has an accurate count of how many people in New Mexico there are and what our needs are for roads and schools and hospitals is critically important. I'd say more so than ever since COVID. So go ahead and take your census as soon as you get it. And for 80% of our New Mexico households, you can and you should. The other part is for the 20% that haven't yet received their form, just wait. It's just as important for you to participate, but you will be getting your form. Tentatively, the Census Bureau is considering mid-June, as soon as it's safe for people to go out there and start hand-delivering these forms. And they're thinking around mid-June, they'll start doing so. So you'll start to see these forms arriving on doorsteps across the state around that time. And as soon as you get it, fill it out online, over the phone, or fill out the form and mail it back in.
All right. You all heard the directive. Now it's time to adhere to it. I want to thank you for being on the show. Jose Vidamontes, Media and Outreach Coordinator with iCount New Mexico. Thanks again for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time and be well.
Yes, you as well. My next guest is Acha Chavez. She is with the NAVA Education Project. Acha, thanks for being with me today.
Hi, thank you. Appreciate it.
So the pandemic is hitting the Native American community in New Mexico and all around the country really hard. How do you ask people to also think about voting and the census right now?
Well, we know that voting is very, very important. And we know that the census is tied into that because the census information is used for redistricting. So at this time, because so many of our tribal nations are dealing with a lot of issues to safeguard their community, sometimes this is just coming off as insensitive to tell people, hey, well, you still need to get counted. You still need to vote.
Yeah. Let me ask, what are the special barriers to voting in the primary or filling out the census form during this time?
Well, many of our tribal nations, there are 23 in the state of New Mexico, have very little access to broadband. 18 of the 19 pueblos participate in something called update leave, which means that the field operatives of the Census Bureau actually take the questionnaires with the 12-digit unique codes into the communities. Well, this did not happen before the pandemic hit. And so you have 18 of these 19 pueblos who have yet to receive those questionnaires. Mm. And right now, the Census Bureau is saying that those are going to be delayed at least until June. So we've had to redo our messaging to ask people not to fill out the census without that 12-digit unique code, because without that, the Census Bureau does not have the ability to really geocode those data points of responses with the actual areas to which they belong. We started to do some phone banking and found out that we were getting decent numbers. However, due to the pandemic and a lot of families having to choose what bills they need to pay, that we noticed that there was a big drop off in the cell phone response rates. Mm-hmm. In New Mexico, Native Americans could lose political representation if we are undercounted. We currently have 6 Native American state house districts and 3 state senate districts where the New Mexico population is over 50%. If we are undercounted, we could lose those districts at the state and local levels.
What type of solutions are you all finding?
So we've been having meetings with different tribes and different Native American votership type organizations to strategize on what might be the best way to move forward. A number of our pueblos had requested early voting sites. We may need to transition those into more convenience type locations, because some of the challenges is you can mail in to request an absentee ballot, but then just like in Wisconsin, with the slowness of the mail, you never know if you're going to get a ballot or if your ballot makes it on time.
Yeah.
So having some of these supports and drop-off locations in areas that are easily accessible by our tribal members is key. Even something simple like I don't have a stamp to mail off my ballot. So there's a lot of different issues that we are trying to address and that we are trying to be very mindful of moving forward.
Well, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, bringing light again to these issues. She's Acha Chavez, Executive Director of the NAVA Education Project. Thanks again for being with me.
Thank you so much.
On Tuesday's episode, we focused on those relief checks we're all checking for during the pandemic and growing desperation as people and businesses try to get those funds. We also heard an interview KUNM's Nash Jones did with Orion Perry, an organizer of Take Back New Mexico, a group that started calling this week for businesses to reopen in violation of the state's shutdown orders. During the interview, Perry said the state's GOP backed the idea, which Steve Pierce, the Republican Party's chairman, says isn't true. KUNM reached out to the New Mexico GOP on Monday and Tuesday before the interview aired. A spokesperson there set up an interview with Pierce and then abruptly canceled it. In an email Tuesday, he did not respond to direct questions about whether the party supported the call for businesses to reopen during the shutdown, but offered a more general statement. Yesterday, Pierce told KUNM the state's Republican Party did not endorse Take Back New Mexico's efforts. Here are some of the conversation between reporter Nash Jones and GOP State Party Chairman Steve Pierce.
Does the Republican Party of New Mexico support Take Back New Mexico's call to action for businesses to open in violation of the public health order?
He is putting words into our mouth on the conference call, we were making one strict point. That is that the governor's orders penalize small, locally owned mom and pop stores in favor of the big box out-of-state corporate giants. And we said that's unfair and it should not be tolerated. I was not contacted about the events. We did not participate in them. We didn't send delegations to them. Our point has always been, let's play fair between the out-of-state corporations and the small businesses that are owned in New Mexico. That was the point of our conference. It continues to be our point. There are people who are absolutely angrier by the day because they're losing their livelihood. They're probably going to lose a house, a home, or whatever. And I'm not going to object when people speak their mind and when they organize whatever they want to say.
Another question for you. Orion Perry, he also told us in that same interview on Monday that the New Mexican Republican Party, quote, actually helped a little bit with the organization and everything. And when we followed up with him about what that looked like exactly, Perry told us that the party made the Google form that the group is using for businesses to fill out if they're interested in participating in the group's action. Did the Republican Party make and supply Take Back New Mexico with this recruitment tool?
Not to my knowledge. I don't know. I don't see everything, but I did not approve the form. And so somebody else will have to answer that. We will help people express their First Amendment rights. The fact that we said, okay, here's how you do it. We do that frequently. We had 8 or 9 major protests that occurred in Santa Fe last year. And people would call and say, hey, how do we do this? How do we do that? I say, okay, here's how you do this. Here's how you do that. Here's who you need to contact. Here's who you get your permit from, whatever, whatever. So that's not unusual, but would not necessarily indicate that we are supportive of what they're saying in public. We don't allow people to speak for us.
Just to clarify, to make sure that we're all on the same page, are you saying that supplying a recruitment tool like a form, as Perry is saying that you did, that that's not conveying support for the effort that they're recruiting for?
Not necessarily. Again, we have a pretty small staff, and we're helping 33 counties. We're helping patriot groups to come in and say, look, we want to have a Second Amendment rally. Let's do that. Even if we help make forms or whatever, it is not us signing on to everything they do. We just don't have the bandwidth to check what everybody's doing. We think that their freedom of speech is their freedom of speech. If we can assist and make a connection of some sort, then we'll be happy to make the connection. But again, I don't know. It's not something generally that goes through an approval process.
So you don't have a problem with organizations or businesses speaking out about their desire to open up. Do you have a problem with businesses that have been ordered shut opening up in violation of the public health order while it remains in place?
That's between them and the law enforcement and the courts. Again, I will not object when anyone exercises their First Amendment rights. It's a right by the Constitution. And when we talked to federal judges, they said there are some very interesting discussions to be had about the constitutional rights that are being abridged. Again, I will support their right to speak.
But do you support their right to open up their shops now?
And that's a form. The judges need to decide if that's a form of speech or not. Civil disobedience has a long standing. A lot of the race laws changed because of civil disobedience, and that is a person's right to choose that. Again, that's between them and the courts.
Chairman Steve Pierce, I appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks a lot, Nash. Appreciate you.
That was KUNM's Nash Jones speaking with the state Republican Party leader, Steve Pierce. A Google form that Take Back New Mexico organizer Perry said was used to recruit businesses for his efforts does say that it was created by the Republican Party of New Mexico, but the form has since been modified with a note saying it is not affiliated with Take Back New Mexico. Tonight is day one of the NFL draft. Funny, because we're not sure if there will be a season for them to play. Tomorrow, we look into the world of athletes and examine how they've been affected by COVID-19 and what the future of sports looks like. We play ball tomorrow on YNMG at 7:30 p.m. resources. Find a full list of the resources we talk about on each episode and opportunities to donate or help online at bit.ly/YNNGHub. Voting, it's important. If you have questions or need any update of any of your information, head to nmvote.org. The census questionnaire, it's quick, it's easy, and super important. Take 10 minutes of your time and head to my2020census.gov and get it done. Be entertained while you go about your civic duty by heading to tinycensusconcert.com to see great performances with a great message. Get info on the Center of Civic Policy, head to civicpolicy.com. Log on to NavaEducationProject.org to learn more about their efforts to get everyone counted. While you're at it, don't forget to check out iCount.org as well. For info on how the census affects undocumented immigrants, go to nmdreamteam.org. Here's a special resource for you. After my interview with Annie Lemming from the New Mexico Asian Family Center, she mentioned a program that they rolled out that brings grocery cards to those in need. It's called the New Mexico Asian and Pacific Islander Supplemental Aid Project, or NMASAP. Head to aaanm.us, click the Get Involved tab, and get involved. Your New Mexico Government is executive produced by Marisa DeMarco. It's produced by yours truly. News update by Marisa DeMarco. Many thanks to the team at KUNM. Thanks to Hannah Colton and Ty Bannerman for making the smooth cuts with their editing work. The theme music is by Pope. Yes, yes, y'all. Hear us all week long on KUNM's airwaves at 7:30 p.m. online. Find the show at KUNM.org or subscribe through iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Your New Mexico Government is a collaboration between KUNM, New Mexico PBS, and the Santa Fe Reporter. Funding for our coverage is provided in part by the Thornburg Foundation, the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, the New Mexico Local News Fund, and KUNM listeners like you. For everyone here at Your New Mexico Government, I'm Khalil Ekolona. Thanks for listening.